If you have your Bibles with you, if you open them to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, and if you don't have your Bible, if you don't have a Bible, what we do in the church is we normally make a practice of just simply working through books of the Bible. One of the things that is important to us as Christians is we believe that this is God's book, that He has given it to us, and all that He has to say to us is found in this book. And as a church, what we try and do is we simply work our way through books of the Bible. And so as a church, we've been studying 1 Peter. And tonight we come to a passage, 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll read a few verses in a moment. And I want us simply to look at that passage, and I think there are important lessons that I think are very relevant to the declaration that Ben and Lucy have made tonight at exactly the same time. But if you're maybe some of this is unfamiliar to you, studying God's Word or all that we've been saying about the person of Jesus Christ, and you want to have some of this explained to you a little bit more, we have lots of opportunities in the church, Christianity Explored courses, or even just other Bible studies where myself or others in the church would quite happily meet up and try and just help you see and understand God's Word for yourself. As a church, we don't try and press or convince people to become Christians. What we want them to do is to understand what the Bible says about Jesus Christ and to respond to the person and the call of Scripture. So if you're interested in trying to study God's Word and to hear what Christianity is actually about according to the Bible, according to the book, then please do talk to myself or talk to somebody else afterwards from the church, and we'd love to try and find a way of helping you. Let me read to you a few verses from 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll read from verse 4. It says, "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do." The big question I want us to ask tonight is, how do you respond to Jesus, the person Jesus Christ? Because that question inevitably divides the room. It cuts the room in two. Men and Lucy, in getting baptized tonight, have made it very clear that they see this person, Jesus Christ, as their Savior and as their Lord. And I'm sure everybody here, friends and family, you're all very supportive of Ben and very supportive of Lucy. And yet at the same time, you may not be in line with their allegiance to Jesus. Tonight, what I want us to think about personally is, how do you respond to Jesus? And that passage that I read to you, especially verses 6 to 8, it contrasts those two responses. It says that Jesus is one who divides opinion, and yet the side that you stand on, the opinion you take about him, has eternal life consequences. The passage in verse 6, it talks about one group of people, those who believe in him. And it says, "Those who believe in him are honored." Let me read again, verse 6. "For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe.'" The focus for the believer is this cornerstone. This cornerstone, Jesus Christ, is to give shape to everything else that we do. That word cornerstone, it speaks of a chief part of a building. That very first stone that would have been laid down in an ancient building, And from it, all directions and dimensions of the rest of the building flowed. It was the most important. It was the stone that the mason spent most care on. It was the stone that the designer, the architect, would have been most fussy about. Because from this stone, everything else of the building would flow out of. It decided where every other stone got laid. The height, the breadth, the shape, the symmetry, everything was determined by that first chief cornerstone that was laid down. It was the plumb line of the ancient world, and it ensured that everything else was built perfectly. And this building that is being talked about is God's building. And God himself is particularly fussy with how his kingdom, how his building is to be built. It has to be flawless. It has to be perfect because God is perfect. And for that to happen, that chief cornerstone himself must be perfect. And so the perfect cornerstone that the passage speaks about is Jesus Christ. And the idea here is that Jesus Christ and the work that he has done, the way he has lived and the death that he died, it has set down a pattern and a trajectory, a design that is meant to shape the believer's life. The idea here is that Ben and Lucy and everybody trusting in Jesus Christ, they're not just saved by Jesus, but they will continue as they grow up as Christians and the rest of the church, as we mature as Christians, we will continue to be shaped by who Jesus is. He becomes our pattern. He's the one who shapes the direction that our life goes, the type of character that develops in our life. Ben and Lucy are twins, which is probably why Trevor and Janet didn't have any more. They have a lot in common, these twins. They love football. They enjoy hanging out with friends. I haven't asked them personally, but I have a good guess that they would probably love ice cream, because who doesn't? But because they both trust in Jesus Christ, not only do they have things in common today, but as they grow, they're both going to grow in similar directions. They're both going to change. Inevitably, that happens as you get older. And probably as they grow, they'll still love football and certainly ice cream. But they will change. And what this verse is saying is that as they grow, part of that change is they will become more like this cornerstone. They'll be shaped by the design of Jesus Christ. So as they grow and mature as Christians, they'll become more lovely. They'll become more gentle. They'll become more kind. They'll become more faithful. They'll become, in other words, more like Jesus, the cornerstone who shapes them, not just saves them, but shapes them throughout the rest of their life. Also, we learn something else about this commitment that they've declared tonight in that last phrase in verse 6. It says at the end, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. And the idea there is that their confidence, Ben and Lucy's confidence in Jesus, is never misplaced. He never lets them down. For the believer, the one trusting in Jesus Christ, they never fall over. They're never disappointed in him, in the person of Jesus. They never find it an empty thing to have been trusting in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean everything in life goes easy all the time. Ben and Lucy will have very hard days. They will have lots of difficulties in life, just like everybody has difficulties in life. But God's word here promises that though they will have real difficulties in life, their God will never let them down. Please don't misunderstand anything about Christianity tonight. Don't think that Christianity makes life easy and simple. Being a Christian is not an easy life devoid of difficulties. But it is a life where in those difficulties, the believer never finds themselves alone. And though Ben and Lucy will struggle at times, with Jesus they will not fall. Because he proves faithful even when the world is at its toughest. The section finishes in verse 7, the very beginning of verse 7. by saying that the individual who believes in Jesus receives some sort of honor. So the honor is for you who believe. Now that word honor, it just means precious value. There is a precious value that's afforded to the one who believes. The person who believes in Jesus, in other words, they're going to find that there is a gain here. There's something special here. There's a value that they've received that is simply beyond description. Jesus, in one of his parables, he told a story about a merchant who spent his life going around the world finding the best treasures that the world had to offer. And at one point in his life, he comes to a particular stall and he sees in this exclusive stall a particular pearl. And because of his experience having moved through the world and all his knowledge and understanding of the world's riches, he was able to look at this pearl and know that it was a pearl of great worth. It was something more significant than anything else he had ever seen or beheld before. And so much did he value this particular pearl, Jesus says, that he went and he sold everything else he had had. He'd made a lot of profit in his life. He'd made a lot of investments. He'd bought a lot of particular riches as a merchant. But he got rid of every single thing in order to take in his hand the pearl of great price. That's the idea here in 1 Peter. That the one who believes in Jesus will find that they have a pearl of great price. They have something that is more valuable than they themselves ever even thought or imagined. Ben and Lucy, as they have got baptized tonight, they have put their trust in Christ. And as they go through life, they're going to find not only was that a good decision, but in finding Christ, they have found the very thing in life that is of most value, the most precious thing that the world has to offer. The believer knows the immense privilege of loving Jesus. Because in turn, as you love him, he loves us with a consistent love. Lucy and Ben tonight are saying that they know the unbelievable privilege of being a Christian and being able to love the one who is the most lovely, knowing at the very core of their being that Jesus, the most perfect one, the precious one, the one beyond anything else that ever walked in this world, valued them so much that he gave his very life in order to call them his. Ben and Lucy tonight have said that they believe in Jesus. And they want you to know that he is precious to them and that to them nothing else compares to him. However, we said, Jesus divides. And not everybody here has made the same choice that Ben and Lucy have made. Some instead have no time for Jesus, have no place for Jesus in their life. But the Bible describes people like that as well, who make that type of choice in verse 7 and 8. Verse 7, so the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. And the point here is that whoever rejects Jesus falls. Whoever rejects Jesus falls. In the wording, a picture is painted, another type of parable. And the picture is of these particular builders. And when the stonemasons have sent the different blocks to them and they look at the particular cornerstone, they're a little weirded out. They know it has been carefully and thoughtfully designed, but it looks strange to them. They have a different type of building in mind they would like to see thrown up. They have a different design in mind, a different way they would like things to go in this world, in their life. And so the stone that was carefully crafted by the stonemason, carefully designed by the architect, it doesn't fit with what they want here and now. And so these builders, because that's not what they wanted, they throw aside that stone. They put it to the side. They try and get rid of it. But the real architect, the real builder, God Himself. That's His cornerstone. That's the piece that He seen as the most important. And despite the disapproval of human builders in this world, God insists on building His kingdom around the cornerstone that is Jesus Christ. In fact, in verse 8, the story goes on that stone that the builders, the human builders, threw to the side because they didn't like the design, that very stone they throw to the side, they trip over and they fall to the ground because of it. And what is that picture saying here in 1 Peter? Well, it's saying that there's many people in our world today who do not like the Jesus of the Bible. And they're happy to be helped in this life. They're happy to have morals. We all want some sort of moral system to live by. But they are not happy with the biblical Jesus. They, like the builders, want to set Him aside. They don't like that design. They've no time for what He offers. They rather would like to make a life, make a system, make a moral way of living in this world themselves. Jesus is not to their liking, and so they dismiss Him. They set Him off to the side. They get rid of Him. The Bible says that's not a neutral decision. The Bible says it's a sin to reject Jesus. You might be here thinking, look, I'm happy for Ben and Lucy and the choice they made, but it's just not for me. I'm not opposed to Christianity. I'm supportive of them, but it's just not for me at this particular time. The Bible says that isn't a neutral position. The Bible says that if you don't embrace Christ, you are actively rejecting Him. And the Bible also says in this verse that there are consequences when we reject Him. There are consequences for non-belief. In the picture here in verse 8, the individual trips and falls because of their rejection of the stone. All of your world and thoughts fall apart in death when you're confronted with the person of Jesus Christ who you rejected in this life. There's no getting away from Him in the end. He's called there in verse 8 to many the rock of offense, because His true explanation for the world is one that condemns us all as guilty, and people don't like that. You've maybe heard people ask the question, why is there suffering in this world? Why is there suffering in this world? Well, the Bible says, because you are in this world. That's why there's suffering. It's you. It's because you and other sinful people live in this world. Now, that's a hard pill to swallow. That's not warm and cuddly. And it's not a truth that most people can stomach. But it's the honest truth about what is wrong with our world. And Peter says, because of that, Jesus to many is a rock of offense. He is offensive to many. Which is exactly why we said at the beginning, Jesus divides tonight. And the question is raised, what side do you stand on? How are you responding to Jesus Christ? Because it matters in the end. As you ask that question in your mind, the last thing I want you to notice in this passage is that if maybe as you ask the question, what side am I on? And you know that you stand on the opposite side to Ben and Lucy. They believe in Christ and have trusted in Him as the forgiver of their sin. Maybe you have no time for Christ. Where does that leave you? The Bible says that this unchanging rock, Jesus Christ, that wonderfully He is one who changes people. Just two verses later, I didn't read it earlier, but in verse 10, immediately afterwards, it says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Peter is writing to a group of Christians, and he says there was a time, Christians, where you were a people who had no time for God. You were a group of individuals who were enemies of God. All of you were people who once rejected God. All of us are under the same sentence. All of us at one stage had no time for God. Ben and Lucy, Lucy made clear in her testimony, at one stage had no time for God. They were sinners, just like all of us are sinners, on the wrong side. But this verse reminds us that tonight you can receive mercy, as Ben and Lucy have received mercy. You can be forgiven. You can be embraced by God, because that is the God of the Bible. That is the Jesus of Scripture. Ben and Lucy tonight have said nothing more than they used to live for themselves. But God showed them mercy, and they're trusting in Him because of it. And baptism tonight wasn't about Ben and Lucy. It was all about Jesus and what He did for Ben and Lucy. And tonight, you too, no matter what you maybe have done, no matter what you have thought in your head about Jesus in the past, tonight you can acknowledge that your life is broken because you are broken. And you can tell God that you have pushed Him aside, and now you can ask Him for mercy, knowing that Christ died to save sinners and to show them mercy. There was a student who went to his Christian professor, who he liked, to tell him that, "I don't believe in God anymore." And the Christian professor replied, "Well, what God do you not believe in? Tell me what He's like." So the student started to describe what he believed God was like. God allows pain and suffering. He doesn't seem moved by it. God places impossible demands upon people, and on he went. And the professor responded, "Well, I don't believe in that God either." I wonder sometimes if some of us in this world thought about Jesus, thought about Christianity, and we've not the real Jesus in our mind, but a caricature. We think we know what Christianity is all about because we went to RE classes in school. And we've pushed out and we set that system to the side. And we've never actually taken the time to come and to weigh up the real Jesus of the Bible. Look, there is a Jesus in the imagination of people in Northern Ireland that I do not believe in. But there is a Jesus of Scripture who I know and who I love. And before you walk away rejecting Jesus, I want to ask you, have you taken the time to see what the Bible itself says about Him? To see what Jesus says about Himself? I said earlier that our church isn't in the business of trying to twist people's arms to become Christians. What we really want to see happen as a church is to sit down with people and open up God's Word and let them weigh up the Jesus of the Bible. See what He is like, what His message is, and intelligently respond to Him. If you've never had that opportunity to study God's Word, if you mention to me or you mention to someone in the church, we'll organize a way of doing it, a little course. Meet up together, even just talk to Ben and Lucy, and find out about who Jesus really is before you reject Him. Maybe it's a Jesus that you have pushed out against, but you need to react to the Jesus of Scripture. One thing tonight I want you all to know is that Jesus does divide. And the side that you stand on matters. What do you think of? What do you make of the biblical Jesus? Ben and Lucy tonight have declared they love Him. They've declared tonight that they have been saved and transformed by Him. Ben and Lucy were once not a people, but now they are God's people. Once they had not received mercy, but now when they put their trust in Him, they did receive mercy. What about you tonight? Tonight, will you come and meet the Jesus of the Bible and discover the mercy that He offers? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You know us better than we know ourselves, that You know how twisted we can be. You know how we can put on an appearance before other people, and yet in our heart of hearts, we only want to serve ourselves. We thank You, Lord, that Your word makes clear to us that we cannot simply be unresponsive to Jesus, that either we embrace Him or we reject Him. And we do pray, Lord, for those who know and love Him tonight, and we pray that You would continue to grow them and to mature them in the faith, to give them a deeper love for Jesus, to be shaped, and that their character would become as His character. But for those, Lord, tonight who are here who have been rejecting Jesus, putting Him off, pushing Him to the side, we pray that in what they have seen about the commitment of Ben and Lucy and what they have heard from Your word, that they would be confronted with their need to know mercy too, and that some tonight would even come and study and put their trust in Jesus Christ while He may be found. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.